also no longer drinks alcohol. How do you feel about the fake alcohol flavors, like pina colada?
So the only one that's really thrown me for a loop and given me full on daiquiri vibes was the it's the rosé frosé bang that it's like almost functionally I can't tell the difference between that and like a Four Loko or like a Seagram's in a can kind of a thing. Like it gives me too much. I told you about swigging the kombucha that I didn't know was alcoholic,
Yeah.
and it sort of gives that same feeling of like something isn't right here. And I've even seen, being in more major metropolitan areas, these non-alcoholic liquor stores are opening up, and I'm not offended by anything with it.
Wait,
They're non-alcoholic spirits.
whole stores though.
Yes, full stores, boutique stores. Obviously, I don't think it's a long-term. I wouldn't be Mark Cuban jumping
It's
on this
not
Shark Tank idea.
like Tower Wine, like levels of, three stories of
Guys, I
non-alcoholic.
appreciate you presenting me non-alcoholic booze, but I'm out, and here's why. If I'm an alcoholic, I don't really need to be reminded of booze. And if I'm just having alcohol, this would be a confusing beverage because I'm not getting drunk, but it tastes, and it's the same price. So it really, I don't understand any of the positives here, and for that reason, I'm out. And then Barbara would go, on my channel, we could put this on. Non-alcoholic alcohol, and it could be for maybe a ladies' garden party for the ladies who are looking out and want to seem like they're keeping with it. I think we can move this product. I'm going to give you $25 for 38% of your company, and I'm going to hold the profits for the first 4 years, and then you're going to return and you're going to make roughly $5 per bottle. We'll take the deal, Barbara.
All right, the comedy sketch.
Yep.
It's a party where everyone has quit drinking. No one wants to let the other attendees of the party, they've quit drinking. Everyone's drinking non-alcoholic beer, but acting as if they are drunk.
Yeah, but I want these full-on liqueurs. I want non-alcoholic gin and tonics being served, and the bartender's the only one in on it. Hey, some of the folks at the party tonight might come up and order non-alcoholic spirits. We've let everyone know in private that they have that option. We are former alcoholics. We don't judge anyone here, and this is a New Year's party, so to speak. And then it's the bartender's perspective all night of everyone taking the non-alcoholic, but then looking out on the floor and seeing everyone acting a fool and acting wild again to kick in that new year. I don't know, Peter. Welcome to the podcast. This is Other Uses for Currency as we dig into the end of all real physical currency and other uses they can find. Now, Peter, I got to tell you, I found myself in a predicament, and currency saved my life. This morning,
The rapper.
no, well, honestly, that first Sky mixtape, I don't know. I listened to it a lot with my good friend Ben in college, and he now does production on large scale, like music concert kind of films and documentaries and things like that. He's always at the good venues filming the good shows. You know what
I
I mean?
think Stoned Immaculate is one of the best records of all time ever,
I was in a
especially if you
period
participate.
of throwing it on the shuffle. You could point out these cover arts to me, and I'm sure they would be more meaningful. But to me, my fandom and currency is sort of just, could I live in his world for a minute? And not necessarily like, I've got to hear track four again for that bridge, you know? Oh, here's the currency story. I was outside this morning of a government building. Oh, yeah, that's beautiful. Yeah. What year is that?
12.
12. Yeah. So that's right at my college graduation time. That was probably going heavy rotation. I was outside of the government building downtown because I was getting a car registered. And I just told you off air that I forgot how good I am at the DMV anywhere, anytime, because I used to register commercial trucks in Florida, because I'm a real human being who had to manage the system of working within the boundaries. What will you sacrifice for your salary? And sometimes, you know what? Pretty okay with sacrificing some things for a salary, I'll be honest. There's certain things it's difficult, but for this, it wasn't that crazy of a sacrifice at the time. It became one. Doesn't matter. I'm walking out and I've got this new license plate for my newly owned, thanks to AJ's folks, 2007 Buick Lucerne, color described as maroon. It is a little peely, but it's working. And the car drives. And I registered it today. And I said, how do I get these fucking screws out of this Buick Lucerne to put on my new legal Georgia tag? I was just floating. I was floating without a tag. The guy said at the emissions place, we got to do emissions testing here. He said, what's the tag number? I said, hoping a good one. And he said, oh. And I filled him in. But I reached into my man purse, my purple little man purse, which has seen better days, and I didn't realize how many coins were in there. I started pulling out coins, and we'll talk about that in a second, to look for certain variants of coins. And I found the coin that fit in the screw hole, and it was the Australian 10-cent piece, and it perfectly aligned with the screw. I tried other coins. I tried many other coins. 10-cent piece worked. I attached the plate, and I came right over to your house. That's where I'm at. And this is not actually a podcast about currency manipulation in the real world. It's Weekend at Effie's. And usually it's me talking over Peter about whatever the fuck I've been getting into. But I'm not going to be shy in the fact that I've been getting into some fun shit.
I've been playing around with the AI bots this week.
Please be careful. They're going to learn. I'm trying to teach them nothing. And they're learning the silent treatment.
They know already. About you.
You either I know they do. And it's very concerning. What are they going to do? You know, are they going to manipulate my voice? They have 78 hours of my voice and your voice talking. Many words, many strange scenarios. The chances of me being able to say, you need my natural voice, you need me, they're going to AI me. And look at the video. The video's quality. They're going to manipulate the video. They're going to make me say things like this. Star Wars The Last Jedi was actually in my top two of all the Star Wars films. See? Now look at that. That's not even manipulated. I said it. I voluntarily said it. What do they know, Peter?
I asked again. We'll see.
Oh, no. It's got to think at least. It's got to think. I'm not a quick answer. I want that. Please stop telling the AI about me, except for Peter. He has permission in this moment. But it does seem that some people are booking eFed-type situations with the power of AI, and they do seem to have a lot of knowledge on what is possible. Oh, Lucy, our guest host today in the background. If you heard that, just some of the cutest noises I've ever heard. Chewing on a Christmas tree. A baby.
It does not know when you were born.
Fuck yeah.
This is telling me. So Effie, also known as Effie Lives, is a professional wrestler based in the United States. He was born September 25th, 1986 in North Carolina.
You know, what's crazy is, no, I can't even go into why that's crazy, but that's not an accurate statement, unless I've been lied to and have forgotten parts of my life. Did we talk about the gay crush on last week's episode?
Can I continue the rest of this bio?
Yeah, please keep it going.
Okay, his real name is not publicly known. We are just building even more.
Excellent.
I think it's just building even more of a mythos.
Yes, there is
you.
No real name.
Okay, so something crazy just happened, yeah. And I'm letting you know this as it happened. So we started going through and reading off the bio that was written by this bot, and the recording literally stopped when we started doing that.
What?
Like, it did not, it overloaded, the system overloaded and did not want us recording what it was saying.
Should we try it again?
I mean, I'm kind of scared now.
No, fuck them. They just don't want you. It's either a copyright issue because they wrote that word thing out, but I lived it. I am giving copyright permission right now to whatever system is watching us here. This is not a stunt. I don't need stunts. I'm going to do a stunt this weekend.
Should I ask it if it stopped the recording and see what it says?
Yeah, see if it knows what's up with stopping the recording. I think this is a fair exercise. They call her Buick LaSalle.
This is so creepy.
What did it say?
It's just sitting there, blinking at me.
Answer me. It can clearly hear me if it's...
As an AI language model, I don't record any audio or video. All of our interactions are text-based, and the information exchanged is not recorded or stored beyond the duration of the session.
Could be just an error in the system. I think you give them a little read again. I think you give them the read.
Give them the read? Okay.
Give them the read. Let's see if they catch us this time.
I'm going to have it do it over again and see if there's like a flux in the information.
I'll give you a background song just so it might confuse the system. Bum 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 bum. Asking the robots, what do I do? I'll confuse you, robot. Now it knows too much.
Okay, he's thinking, she's thinking, it's thinking.
Well, that's a computer out there, ain't it? I don't gotta call it. Uh-oh, did it change? good.
Oh, okay. Effie is a professional wrestler based in the United States who has gained attention and acclaim for being an openly gay wrestler in a sport that historically had a reputation for being conservative and heteronormative. Effie has made it his mission to break down barriers and stereotypes within the wrestling industry and promote inclusivity and acceptance.
This is what the robots are saying, Peter?
Yeah. For LGBTQ plus individuals in wrestling and beyond. He is known for his flamboyant and androgynous persona, which has become a trademark of his wrestling style and performance.
I just want to be clear. I'm a man and I'm a hunk. There's nothing androgynous. I guess because I'm wearing pantyhose, but that's actually alien armor. I just want to correct the robot here. I'm just correcting the robot on basic information that it wants to assume.
Effie has competed in various wrestling promotions throughout his career, including NWA, CZW, and GCW.
Never worked for CZW.
He has also appeared in several independent wrestling events and has built a strong following on social media platforms such as Twitter and Instagram. In addition to his wrestling career, Effie is also a musician and has released several albums and singles.
Unbelievable.
He is an advocate for mental health awareness and often speaks openly about his own struggles with mental illness.
Whoa. Do I?
I think you talk about your struggles with the acid gods, but...
Oh, yeah. I think that... Okay. Well, that makes sense. But also, like, I think I'm more about... I do speak about being mentally aware. I am mentally aware of things. But I also... Have you ever taken your computer brain so far that you're like, I don't know if we're talking about the same thing?
Yeah.
Yeah. I watched a crazy Haley Joel Osment movie about that the other day. We can talk about that later. I've been in an M. Night Shyamalan loop, so I hope they pick up on that. What's the twist, honey?
The twist is, overall, Effie has become a trailblazer and inspiration for LGBTQ plus individuals in wrestling and beyond, and he continues to use his platforms to promote acceptance and inclusivity for all.
Hell yeah. Well, good. The robot got some things right. I'm concerned that the robot got some things right. I don't like the robot. Did this record this time, Peter? Did we get through this AI situation?
Yes, we did.
Wow. You can't fool us again. Okay. Wow.
Lucifer.
Lucifer is getting excited about this robot talk. I know, and I promised you I wouldn't talk to the robot, but we're here talking to the robot, Lucy. I can't help that. The robots know too much, Peter. We have to stop talking about them, though, because Lucy does not like when we talk about who we're not supposed to talk about. We have to keep it. I promise, Lucy, I won't bring them up again. I know it's our inevitable end. They dumped a lot of latex in the water in Philly. People be safe. Don't drink the tap water. Stop letting corporations be people. If they are people, they can get the guillotine too. Okay. We're living it out here. This is Weekend at Effie's. Wow, Peter. What a moment. What a life. I didn't know how much of this story I should share, but I want to get into a story before I went into my crazy adventures. I mean, this was part of my crazy adventures. I was texted last week by someone very, very cool. Do you know who it was? I told you, didn't I?
Yeah, you did.
It's Amy Dumas. It's Lita. Legendary, super triple-time Hall of Famer in my mind. And I got to spend some time with her before WrestleMania, where she's going to be having a 3-on-3 crazy-ass tag match that I cannot wait to see. You know what's wild, Peter? Sometimes I'm lauded as a particular type of performer, but I know in my heart, and people who've been around me and worked with me know, that I'm the most professional wrestler there can be. It's very good. I take your moves really well. I catch your dives every time. I make sure we get your spots in. And for Amy to reach out and say, hey, will you come run through some stuff with me in a ring? That was the coolest thing I could even imagine. You're talking about someone I've been watching since I was in childhood who has become a friend since then. And, you know, we went to the haunted house and I lost my voice even worse in the middle of a crazy time. And now to come into it professionally and to get to go down to, I went down to the new Nightmare Factory gym ring that's owned by QT Marshall. And it's such a beautiful facility. It was such a magical place to get to go. Cody Rhodes also a part of that school. So around WrestleMania time, it was, you know, very much an honor to be able to enter those spaces and to be a professional wrestler, you know?
Is Cardona really getting that tattoo on his neck?
What's up with his finger? He's seriously, I've never looked in real life. It's the longest finger I've ever seen. Do I just have the babiest hands you've ever seen? Or you see that finger? Did you see the picture of that finger?
Yeah.
It's the longest finger I've ever seen. It's a very long finger. He should be in the NBA. He could palm a ball. I'm making him palm a ball.
Do you think it glows?
No, no. But it is whiter than his tan rest of him because I know he puts on barrier cream for his tans, which you should because you don't want to have... I don't want to reference who has the hands, but you know when you see the hands and the wrong parts are tan on the hands and it's bad because your hand skin is different because it is in so much contact with things.
I'm going to take her out. Keep talking. She's in a mood today.
That's okay. We're going to,
this is a little early for the Lucy Grumbles.
I love it though. She needs her dad. She needs her space. She needs a little attention. Go give her a little trot around.
I also, speaking of like random terrible things that have been happening to me that I haven't mentioned, I was up throwing up like all last night.
You haven't had a great week, Peter. Do we even get into the other thing that happened to you?
Yeah, I got hit by a car.
Yeah, so let's leave that on the cliffhanger here, and Peter will be right back. I'm going to handle this sweet baby Lucy. And Peter will get into...
She looked at me this morning, and she was like, okay, you're not sleeping is starting to affect me, and I'm not happy about it.
Yeah, we're going to get you some Benadryl, and we're going to get you some... I like a fruit cobbler. We'll talk about fruit cobbler in a minute. And we'll talk about getting hit by a car, Peter. Wow. Big cliffhanger.
I think I'm ready for that table spot.
Which table spot?
You throw me through a table.
All right, let's do it. You want me to go get... We can go to Habitat for Humanity and get a door. The only audio is me listening to a move clip and then going, my God. Okay, so I don't know where we were and what, and I was talking about Lita a second, but I want to hear this. I'm going to get back to the wonderful Amy Dumas and our trip. But, all right, so after we recorded last week was the time frame I was given.
Yeah.
Fill us in, Peter. Getting hit by a car.
So I was... It's okay, I'm fine. Just to like,
yeah, I say that too, Peter. Sit down.
I was crossing the street and I had basically one of the streets I live in, like one of the
walkable area.
It's a walkable area.
There's more crosswalks than cross streets,
but people like to drive as if it's not a neighborhood.
Yeah.
Are there
speed humps there? I sound like an old woman.
No, because
this
is North Highland, which is just like run as fast down as you possibly can.
Let's put some speed bumps on North Highland. This is my call. This is my fight song. Okay, keep going. I'm sorry.
You know what's funny? I was telling someone else a story yesterday that also lives in the neighborhood, and they were like...
No, do you want some more?
Oh, yeah.
I didn't know if you needed some beverage. Oh, that was a good cheers moment, though. I'm glad we...
There's like someone else that lives in the neighborhood who's like, they're like, oh shit, yeah. Actually, I almost hit you the other day too. So this might be a me thing.
You're a monument. No, man, it's a look up thing. Look up.
So it was during like a particularly it was like right around rush hour.
Yeah.
And I was crossing the street. So I'm here, car stopped here in front of me, headed to my left. And I'm walking straight. Okay. They give me the go-ahead. I start walking, and then someone that was turning in the opposite lane, so on my left side, just rips it through the intersection, and I'm halfway through the crosswalk before I realize that they're about to hit me. And so I just like reacted and went up on the car. And I don't...
So you rolled into the bump, though, Peter.
Yeah.
Do you think that you've learned a little bit of wrestling knowledge?
I think so, because there was a moment where I was like, it would be better for me to roll up on this than anything else.
Inertia is your friend in a roll sense.
And I feel fine.
I'm really proud of you, because that's a pretty big bump. I mean, like, I've seen people take a few car bumps, but not, you know, if you don't know how to take it right, you're going to be in a lot of pain. I think you went for the right... You know, you kind of quarter rolled into it, gave it a little side of the back. What part did you connect with first on this car?
I think it was like the actual car part.
Yeah. No, like you part.
Arms. Yeah.
How? Give me the vibe. Can I?
Like, it was like I remember rolling like that.
Yeah. Oh, that's wild. That's a wild time. You gave it a real roll. Did you scare the shit out of these people?
No. Okay. Here's so, because it happened very quickly, but it was very slow for me. Like I remember the progression of everything.
You're going to make a harder mental memory of things when you're being in a crisis zone.
It was one shitty car, two like very young female driving it,
yep.
And they looked fucked, like fucked up.
Oh my God.
And I think I may have done, I don't want to give myself.
At 6 p.m.?
Yeah. Because they were like, are you okay?
Oh my God.
And it was like pulling themselves from the depths of whatever place they were in to even have the tiny bit of recognition that they just hit a human being with their car.
Yeah.
And I think my brain did the thing of, this is bad, you should just go.
Yeah, so that's what I did. There was a listen, honestly, I'm glad you're okay. You don't have to be okay, but I'm glad you're safe. That could have been much worse. That's like Bridge to Terabithia type shit, Peter. We record our last podcast and you get hit walking across the road. I can't handle that. You're going to need to hold that baby. She loves you. Peter is safe. Peter's here with me. Thank God. What a moment.
She just farted in my hands.
Yeah, she's that girl. I WrestleMania trained with Lita, which was so sick. I hope I see some of the things that we worked on together and we got into. The facility was beautiful. While we were in the ring, I saw from a distance, Daddy asked Billy Gunn working out, and I didn't want to go bother him, but he looked so strong. Have you ever seen a person in real life that like you've seen them on TV before? And I've been around Billy Gunn from a few years ago on, and he is so large and so powerful and so jacked. And the most beautiful Shakespearean story is happening in the AEW world, that just like we're seeing some real masterful performances on a level that I really like. Daddy Ass has abandoned his two boys, who are also professional wrestlers. They're actually the champions of the world right now, the tag team champions. He abandoned those boys to go hang out with who were at the time getting on to being the tag team champions, the Acclaimed, Max Caster and Anthony Bowens. And he did not want to help out and be near his kids. And instead, despite him, they still succeeded and gained the championship gold without his help. And he still doesn't want to join them in this time. And it's like watching the guys are really doing well with their characters and their performances. And I know this is a little too behind the scenes, but I don't want to be like, look at those dickheads. No, in performance, they're really playing up the like, why won't you be on our team, Dad? But also, fuck you, Dad, because you chose to be on the more over team that is not related to you. And even when we win, you don't care. So I got to see him from a distance. It was beautiful. I'm not going to sit here and brag on it too much. I just really had a good time. And it made me feel happy to be in a ring with no expectation right before WrestleMania. Like, I know we were there to help Amy through things and work on those spots for Mania, but also just like being in a ring without any expectation or time limit, or the fans are coming in 6 minutes and I need to learn this Lucha spot real quick. Kind of magical. And
how often do you do stuff like that?
Never. I wrestle so much, y'all. I am constantly, I have ring time before shows. Constantly, I have time to warm up. Constantly, I am wrestling. So it's not something that I'm prioritizing, and I don't think it should be. I think that the wear on your body that you're doing in practice sessions that can go for multiple hours, it is detrimental to the long-term health. And I think you see a lot of injuries from people that spend more time in the ring going over and over and over things. It doesn't, you know, someone could present it as more of a hindrance of, oh, well, you can't, you know, you're not maximizing what you could know in the ring. But I'm spending time in the ring. I'm learning spots. I'm always in the ring. I don't have time to waste my physical body on practicing something that I'm a world-class professional at this point. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And for any spots that I don't know, if we can't work around that, then you're not a professional wrestler. There are limitations to every performer, and there are certain things I'm not going to do in the ring, and I don't need to do it to make my money and make my coin and make my fans happy, so I don't need to go risk my neck. They had a crash pad, Peter. It was beautiful. I don't often get a crash pad. You just bump on the crash pad. It's like soft foam on top of the ring. And so, you know, when you're doing things like DDTs and headlock drivers and tornado DDTs and crazy stuff like that, you don't have to take the bump at all. You go right into the foam. It shows you how your body's moving. It's magical. I sound like a loser for not having a lot of crash pad time, but it is a cool thing to have, and it's good for high flyers. But you know what's even better for high flyers? Having Effie catch your fucking dives, because I'm a genius level dive catcher. All right. I never played football, but it lets me know I probably would have been good at it. If I can catch a man out of the air, I can knock a man to the ground. That's a statement, right?
Yeah.
So Saturday I had a big adventure, Peter.
Effie's big adventure?
Well, it was Effie and AJ's and Bebop's and Cranberry's big adventure. Because I picked up a car Friday night and it was a rental car. I've been getting a few more rental cars when I need them. But now I have my Buick Lucerne. But I am going to have a rental car in LA, which I think we're going to talk about Big Gay Brunch in a second and get into that. But having a rental car in LA is actually going to save me a lot of money. Ubers are expensive. Share your Ubers with people. You're all going to the same places. Help each other out. Look out for each other. Don't be weird to people. Please be polite and kind. Offer to ride share and pay for people's rides and help
and
people out.
And tip your driver because they don't make shit. Oh my
tip
God.
Your fucking driver. Please tip your drivers and Ubers and 5 stars every time. Did you ever see the new Fletch movie that John Hamm was in that I brought up? Every single time he gets out of the car and he slaps it and he goes, 5 stars. It's beautiful. 5 stars and tip. I had great interactions with Uber drivers this weekend. One took me over to Amy's house and we talked about some issues she had going on about some foreign vacations that she didn't feel like she needed to go on that her family was pressuring her to. And I was like, I feel like we both helped each other out with some advice on this. Uber drivers are very helpful and they listen to you. And I also Sunday had one in Vegas who we'll get into it. Saturday, we drove that rental car. I left the house at very early in the morning, very, very early, with both dogs in this rental car in a, you know, we have the big canvas bucket thing that goes in there to protect from the dogs. Mm-hmm. Bebop immediately threw up. I love it. They ate breakfast.
He used to throw up in my car all the time.
He doesn't do well in cars, but he's fine. He won't sell like he's thrown up. It's not like he's sick and sad. He goes, and then he's good the rest of the trip and he doesn't care. So you kind of have to prepare for that. I knew it was going to happen. And also he has a lot of hair. If it's just Cranberry, she's the cleanest, easiest, like, is barely a dog. I swear by it. But Bebop is fully a fucking dog and licks his butthole and sheds everywhere and throws up and poops. He's a dog. I don't blame him for it. He had to go on this long road trip. I wouldn't want to be in the back seat of a car for 5 hours each way to South Carolina and back. We got to pick up my new Buick Lucerne. We drove straight there. And AJ said, I might have to drive the car, whatever. I said, you're not driving that Buick. I said, you drive this nice Mazda rental car. You look out for the puppies. You call me and tell me when to pull over. And we took all back roads, avoided highway on the way back, got there as late as possible. I repacked my shit, and then I went to Vegas. How long was I in Vegas? I was trying to calculate. I landed at 12:30 p.m. in Vegas, and I took off at 12:30 a.m. in Vegas. I was in Vegas for 12 hours. Magic, right? I took a Frontier flight in, which, you know, I would say there are worse things. I haven't met them yet. I'd rather fly JetBlue, motherfucker. And if people want to bring up Spirit, Spirit has been wonderful to me and more accommodating when you're polite to them. A lot of people who don't get what they want from Spirit are not very polite and are not willing to pay. You have to pay. That's the policy. So if you know what's coming, you can't be that mad. I landed in Vegas and I was told to come by the home of the wonderful Dark Sheik and hang out for a little bit before this show. Now, my dumbass thinks I know what time wrestling shows start at, which is 8 p.m. in my brain. Maybe 7 p.m. Maybe. And then I opened up the poster to see, like, what time do I have to be at this show? And I said, oh, my God, this show is at 5 p.m., which then, thank God, I'll make my flight very easily. But also, I can't hang out as long as I wanted. So I said, let's get in this Uber. And I have Vegas a lot, right? And sometimes when you just get to talk to an Uber driver in Vegas about Vegas and ask questions about, like, since I was here in August, since I was here in February, since I was here last May, since I was here last June, whatever, and you have multiple occasions to compare it to, and they can kind of fill you in on what's really going on in Vegas. Even stuff like, have the buffets gotten back to...
Damn, well, you were holding that one in.
I talk a lot. Have the buffets gotten back to the quality?
Clears you the fuck out.
What is
out.
This called? What
it's
is this?
Just greedy. It's just.
Can I be honest, Peter? And I What's wasn't that? Even going to say anything.
It looks like poppers.
I thought you were doing poppers over there, and I said, "Girl, like live your life, live your fantasy." Like, I've done poppers before in daily life.
Yeah.
I don't recommend it. I don't think it's good for you. But it's like it wouldn't be
every time. It's like, ooh, what am I paying? Like, I know there's a fee for this experience, but I'm not entirely sure what it is.
Were we talking about this the other day, or I think I was talking about it with someone this weekend, that there's nothing you could do in front of me or present to me or have a human have going on with them, be it weird or odd or out there or performative or whatever it may be, that would even fucking faze me a tiny bit, Peter. There is nothing that could come up to me in the world, human or otherwise, that I think would make me flinch at this point. You know what I mean? Maybe, you know, big guns in a thing or whatever. That's a horrible thing. But I'm talking about, like, functionally, like, there's no surprise or gasp that would come from me from seeing something that I don't think I've seen before.
Yeah.
Which I think is a real benefit of character, but it also says, like, maybe you've seen too much.
See, I feel the exact same. Like, you can't, there's not a lot you
can do. I'm not selling
now
for anything, no, Peter. No. You're going to have to make me sell. We're going to talk in a second about something that I completely didn't sell for and thought was a really bad thing going on in Vegas that was not. And I laughed so hard at myself going, like, what I thought that, okay, we'll get into it. We talked about Vegas. I got to Dark Sheik's house. We ordered the best lunch of all time, which was, and my time schedule is so fucked up at this point already, you know, it's 12:30, it's 1 p.m., it's 4 p.m., my show's at 5, it's 8 p.m., all the time zones are fucked, and I'm going back to the West Coast, you know, after 2 days back on the East Coast. It's a weird, I'll tell you the one difference, nobody cares what happened in the morning on the East Coast on the West Coast for most of the time. It doesn't exist anywhere. That's sort of the time warp you get into. We got donuts and coffee, and guess who else was there at Dark Sheik's house hanging out? Fucking Trish fucking Adora. Legendary. Trish Adora is one of the best professional wrestlers in the world. She has been doing some stuff with Ring of Honor. She's the Pan-African world champion. She is able to wrestle any type of match and any type of thing. And getting to sit and converse and say, here are things we're frustrated with three, you know, veterans of the industry between Effie, Dark Sheik, and Trish Adora, to just sit there and take in an afternoon at Dark Sheik's house, which I don't want to brag on it too much, is beautiful, lovely, desert ranch, pool, sun comes in, tropical plants, Wanda the cat just wandering through saying hello just for a moment, donuts delivered, Ubers are easy. It's a really magic spot in Vegas, and it's not the Vegas people do their bachelor parties for. It's like the best part of Vegas, which is like near everything, but also just like admits you're in the desert and lives a desert life and is, you know, it works with the environment instead of pretending it's not an environment at all.
I think I could do that.
It's beautiful. I love the desert. It's very Palm Springs in that sense, but a little less forced. Palm Springs kind of dresses up the desert while still being in the desert.
Right.
But there's a particular Vegas that's like, no, you're in a desert and it's beautiful. And like, make the stones match the beautiful earth and take in the silly bushes and plants and lizards and have a big, lovely tile, Mediterranean style pool with a porch and metal furniture because you know it gets so hot and dusty out here, you know? It's magic.
My mom is from out that direction. So we spent, whenever we come to the States, we would spend
desert women are magical, I believe.
My grandma was a chain smoking Las Vegas lady.
There's something about the dryness of Las Vegas that makes smoking so much more fun.
Yeah.
It is so satisfying.
They made her quit smoking and she died a week later.
Wow. Nothing to live for anymore. No. When I was born, I told you they made my grandma quit snuffing.
Oh, God.
Which is snorting the tobacco powder up your nose. She wasn't allowed to snuff if she was going to see the baby. And now I think, you know, Grandma, I love you. Rest in peace. I'm going to keep snuffing everything for you. Just give me do they even make snuff anymore?
I don't think so.
I don't know. There seems to be something nasal in my family history. I don't know. I'm going to get this nose fixed after being punched in the face 100 times over my life. Probably more than that, honestly. Let's talk about this show, Future Stars of Wrestling. This is their wild blow-off show, and I'm happy to announce that I'm pretty sure this is the same venue we're going to be in for Memorial Day, where GCW is presenting another collective. It will not have a big gay brunch at the Silver Nugget Casino. You know about the Silver Nugget Casino? We've talked about it many times here before, I feel like.
The Silver Nugget?
I texted my friend Robert, who also is the friend I've visited in Australia before I even went there to wrestle, and has lived a pretty wild, wonderful existence, and has always been a dreamer and a traveler and a person that fancies the finer things in life. And so I reached out and I said, Robert, do you remember this In-N-Out burger? As I was on the way there passing the UNLV campus. And he said, boy, do I. And it was the first In-N-Out we ever went to when I went to Vegas when I was like 16 or 17. And he recounted a few extra stories there. There's also a 24-hour nail salon right by there. And you can just get drunk in there. This is my pre-teetotaler time. I was not a teetotaler at this time. And boy, I could drink out a mani-pedi on the UNLV campus by the In-N-Out. So I'm at the Silver Nugget, and that was
a hell of a sentence that you just said.
I have to be cautious, don't I? You're going to love the question on the tweet because you lost the questions. I lost the questions. There's no questions. There's questions now on Twitter that we're going to get into. You're going to love one of them.
Okay.
So we started comparing stories also. I said, I'm booked tonight at the Silver Nugget. And we were comparing stories. And both of us had someone pulled a gun out in the parking lot story.
Yeah.
Which was kind of magical to be like, oh, yeah, of course. And, you know, weed is now legal in Vegas, but they don't let you smoke it in the casinos. So it's very strange to, like, you finish a joint and then you kind of walk inside finishing your cigarette still. And that's okay. But, like, God forbid you were going to get high and play slots. You'd think the casino would push for that. Like, no, please just let him sit here and get stoned and hit the button. Are you kidding me? Oh, my God. What? They'll win $30 an hour and they'll spend $85? Keep them in the chair. Guess how much I gambled in Las Vegas, Peter?
Zero.
$0. I just have to keep myself
pious.
Pious. Yes. Now, did I get home from Las Vegas and immediately eat a full barbecue plate with a peach cobbler? Fucking yeah, I did. But that's the only gambling I'm doing is with my blood pressure these days, okay? Do I feel physically in the best shape of my life? Honest to God, yeah. Do I also eat barbecue plates and peach cobbler a lot? Fuck yeah, I do. Both of those things can exist, Peter. Both of those things can be magic. I'm a high-level man. I'm an athlete, all right? I'm into athleisure and entertainment. All right, let's talk about FSW. I did the meet and greet, which, you know, he said, you can do the meet and greet if you want. You know, John Morrison's doing it. Chris Bay's doing it. And I think, you know, Kenny King is doing it, which we'll talk about Kenny King. And I said, yeah, I will. And then it was just nice to see that I was drawing in Vegas. People were there to see Effie. People were lined up to meet and talk to and get the rest of the shirts that I had. I had 5 shirts to sell, some fans, some pictures, signing some 8x10s, taking pictures of the fans. And to get to do that alongside such... What is this? Is it the weather? Is it these allergies?
Yeah.
The pollen is killing me. This Breathe Easy is lovely.
Right?
Yes, to get to hang out and do all that is great. But I had a task ahead of me in Jay Vidal, who is booked this weekend on the Big Gay Brunch. Now, Peter, you would think, all right, let's say I'm not Effie and I'm fighting Effie and I'm booked on Effie's show. And, you know, Jay's doing some stuff with Impact Wrestling now, which is very cool. There's some magic, doing a lot of cool TV spots, you know, creative direction that I love to see. And I've got to kick his ass. Wouldn't you just want to kind of lay down and let me beat your ass and get it over with and not have to try to make a fool of me in front of everyone?
Yes.
I don't know. I think I'm being a diva. I think I'm Celine Dioning when she's doing her Las Vegas residency, saying Perrier isn't enough. I want the untouched Fiji water or the bottle that's naive backwards. You know, having particulars and being a bitch because you know you can back it up with your track record while also maintaining asking for real competition in your art and trying to create something new all the time and not rest on legacy. Jay brought the fucking heat out of me.
Are you watching the Gwyneth Paltrow trial right now?
I can't. It's so hard
so
for me.
It's so good.
Ugh.
It's so good.
But can, like, I get like a Netflix
she's literally
documentary
flirting,
one year out?
Like, she's being flirted with the entire... Like, they're not taking
they're like,
any of
Miss Paltrow,
seriously.
You did seem to suggest a crypto scam to many customers and did not verify that you were paid. But in Shallow Hal, what was it like having actually kissed Jack Black?
No, she's... The prosecutor or whatever, I don't fucking understand any of this shit, is like, so you probably dress, you know, a little more incognito when you're on the slope skiing? And she's like, oh, yeah, I need to play it down
a little
bit.
Oh, is this a skiing
accident
trial?
Yeah, because she hit somebody.
Oh, yeah.
While skiing.
Okay, you can't blame anybody for hitting you while skiing.
Yeah.
Grow up.
And they're
she's
like,
getting out of this one, right?
They're
did
like,
they die?
I bet your outfit's pretty nice, though, right?
No.
No, I'm dead serious. I'm dead serious.
What would you say the retail amount of that beautiful... wind-resistant tracksuit would be, Miss Paltrow. Miss Paltrow, I'd like to direct your attention to the set of goggles. We're going to do a goggle lineup. Which of these goggles do you think retails for over $299? Well, of course, it's the Fenteras on the end, on the left, right? That's accurate. You can see she's a skiing professional, Your Honor. This isn't something that she would have planned for, and I would suggest that the man who was killed by her rampant skiing accident would actually be paid back to Gwyneth Paltrow after being formed into goop, which is going to bring the brand to a new nature. I've lost my mind, Peter. I have a lot going on in my world, and I'm glad we're just talking. And this has been a random episode so far, but I did get that car back. I did go to Vegas. I did fight Jay Vidal, which I think, once again, everyone out there who wants to be a TV wrestler, I hear about all the tapings. I hear about wrestling. I hear about TV. I hear about, you know, all the things that happen. I talk to people on matches and who their agents are. I know everything. Effie's in the fucking loop more than people would like. And what I would like to say is, who better than Effie at hitting perfect TV times and making their matches right on time? We talked last week about the timing of matches, having an 8 to 10 that's 8.5 minutes, which leaves room for entrance and exit, having a three-way trios match that hits 11 minutes and 41 seconds right on time, having a singles match where I can put over someone else and make it be believable in 7 minutes and 49 seconds, and now getting defeated by Jay Vidal in exactly 10 minutes and 7 seconds when we were given a 10-minute time limit. 10-minute time limit, 10 minutes and 7 seconds, that's a perfect hit. I only do it because that's what the professional wrestler would do. I hit my times because it is not greedy to other people's time on the show when I know that there are other things happening. I want to hit the spot that they want for me. I want to give my fans everything they need to see. I want to give Jay Vidal a good match, but I want to, most importantly, stay on time with the show. It is important to me to have that punctual nature to my matches, and it also gives me a track record where if I choose to be greedy or selfish in a certain moment, I can do that and point at the rest of my record and say, I don't usually get greedy. And so I pick and choose my moments. And it also, as I mentioned earlier, with the training in the ring and the bumps and everything else, instead of being greedy and needing to go over my time and do additional when it is not asked of me or needed of me and maybe highlighted on another portion of the show and I'm not asking the right questions because I don't have all the knowledge, maybe we're wearing ourselves out by trying to overperform at certain moments when we can do the right thing for the right match and make it just as meaningful as if we had gone 20 minutes and bored everyone in the building. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
To be so enamored by performance that you're caught up in this and have it. What is the, you know, sometimes I wish I just took direction, Peter, but I can't. I have to perform. I take direction on certain things like time, but I will forever say I can hit the time, but everything else is up to me, right? And they go, what? And you go, yep. Okay. And then they can't bitch at you if you hit the time. I hit the time perfect. I met with a lot of people. I hung out. I smoked a legal marijuana cigarette with some fans who had not seen Effie live before, but had been friends for a while, I believe. Friends or fans or watchers or viewers for a while. So I did that. And then me and John Morrison rode to the airport. We were taken to the airport by a lovely young man named Leo. We loaded our bags up after the show, after selling some merch. And I went over to Terminal 3, got on my Frontier flight. Hung out in the airport for a while. It was a good time. Now, what happened that I told you, I was a little too apathetic to everything going on around me. And it's not that I don't notice everything. It's that it doesn't frighten me or concern me or make me feel weird. You know, I notice when things are weird, but the likelihood that they're that weird. This guy started throwing his hat and screaming, this never happens. And you can probably guess where this goes. But it was very violent sounding. And I kind of looked up for 1 second, like, is security going to come over here and do something? But I was far enough away if you've been to the McCarran Airport, there's a big circular area in each little bubble where they have the hookups, and there's casino slot machines in the middle. And I told someone on the flight in, and this is important, he was sitting next to me the whole flight, we didn't talk, but then when we landed, we had the brief conversation, like, what are you here, what are you doing? Turns out he's from Columbia, South Carolina, and I actually hooked him up with something else that I'll tell you later. I don't want to get into the details on here, but I said, are you getting into Vegas? And he said, yeah. And I said, take this on your journey. He said, I'm from Columbia, South Carolina. I've never been to Vegas. So I started just like kind of filling him in a little bit, telling him what's up, helping him figure it out. And it was nice to be able to look at someone and go, like, we've been in the same towns. We went to the same schools. We're from the same places. I have these experiences now, and I can go, like, here's what's bullshit. And I said, don't ever gamble in that airport, even if you're stuck here. He said, okay. This guy screaming and throwing his hat on the floor had hit a jackpot, a mega jackpot, on one of these slot machines. And when I tell you, I didn't realize it at first. I went back to watching Drag Race Sweden, which, oh my God, what a show. Someone came back this week from just doing a mini challenge. They were like, here's a mini challenge. And they were like, and here's all the girls that have already gone home. They get to do it too. And they were like, this girl is such a funny bitch. She can come back. And then it was basically because they just had to do Snatch Game, and they realized, they were like, I don't think we got any funny bitches. But that girl didn't even win Snatch Game. Sorry, I'm spoiling it for you, but this show is insane. Fuchs, don't Fuchs it up, because his name is Fuchs, the performer who hosts the show. So he says, don't Fuchs it up, instead of don't fuck it up. It's, you know, it's like clever wordplay, Peter.
It's very clever.
Okay. All right. I love it. This guy hit a jackpot, and the people just started rolling in like scavengers to a dead horse and watching as he did a dance and was going, and the money just kept going up, and he was still winning the jackpot while we were starting to board this flight home to Atlanta. And I was like, oh my God, I tell this guy, don't gamble in the casino. It's obviously not this guy, but I'm going like, Vegas every time will prove you wrong what you think about Vegas. The second you think you have anything in mind for Vegas after so many years and after so much time, it's always a surpriser. I watched him win the mega jackpot. The dude just changed his life money-wise. On a Buffalo machine. Buffalo! If you're a casino goer, you know about Buffaloes. Sometimes they're great, sometimes they're not.
What, okay, you win big. You don't have to do anything the rest of your life. What do you do?
I start buying up amusement parks.
That's kind of genius, actually.
Yeah, so they're already like, definitely I can turn one dark ride into a regular house. And I'm not like, I don't want to like, this isn't Michael.
So you're going to like live in the Haunted Mansion, basically?
Yeah. I'm living in the Riverboat Haunted Mansion ride or Pirates of the Caribbean, which I get to go to this week. We're going to talk about Disneyland in a second. I'm an amusement park guy. I told Cardona we needed to speed run an amusement park together because Chelsea was like, I don't like going that fast and I don't have to do every ride. And Allie was like, I don't like going that fast and I don't have to do every ride. And me and Matt Cardona are looking at each other like, one time I did all of Disneyland in 5 hours and 21 minutes every single ride. You know, like we're comparing notes on like, oh, one time I knocked out every attraction in a Six Flags in 3:41, you know, and I did this one twice.
I mean, so the Blank Check Boys, their favorite podcast is, or one of their favorite podcasts, Podcast The Ride, which Cardona has been a guest on multiple times. He is a regular appearance on that show.
I hope to see Matt Cardona this week. I'm not specifically booked to see Matt Cardona this week. He's not booked on spring break. I'm not booked out loud on his podcast. We'll see what happens. I am going to Disneyland Thursday, which is very far from where he's having his podcast. So, you know, it's very doubtful I would sneak in the back and challenge him to a match. This is coming out Friday, though, so nobody's even going to hear this until whatever happens, happens.
Unless you're on the Patreon.
Unless you're on the Patreon, weekendateffies.com. I just put up another vlog. I think the two Australia vlogs, I don't know if you watched them, Peter. I did. What you've been doing. Were they as chaotic as usual?
Yes.
I changed my frames so you could see more of what's going on. Where do you think my brain is at right now based on the vlogs?
Well, I haven't watched the most recent one.
That's okay. What about Australia? Pretty good?
Pretty good. Yeah. I feel like we're back in the...
Yeah.
We're heading into brighter times.
Brighter days ahead.
I don't know. I say that tentatively because I got hit by a car the other day.
You did get hit by a car. You did have a rough evening. And now you're here with me and we're talking, which is
I weirdly fun. Feel like, I don't know, like something cracked, something broke, and now I just don't care anymore.
But not like your hip.
No. Something mentally was like, oh, I no longer care, and therefore I feel, yeah, exactly.
Crawling through.
I'm feeling a little bit freer, I think.
Good. Let's both feel free. Let's do an exercise before I get into the next section of the show. I'm going to take a really deep breath in. And then I'm going to grunt it out. I'm going to do another big breath. I'm just letting this one go. Can you hear that guy?
I can.
Hey. He's not going to knock it off, is he? Mm-mm. Maybe that means we have to take one more breath. Maybe it's a sign. You too, Lucy. Good job. Helps everybody feel a little calmer. What did I just end on, Peter?
Jackpot, Vegas.
Jackpot in Vegas. I took the red eye home. I slept on that whole flight, thank God. I will say this. My dreams have been increasing in intensity, in quantity, and in meaningfulness. I had a very intense, wild deal-with-everything dream last night that was very helpful. I didn't wake up feeling particularly great about it, but I know that it is something that is helping my brain through things right now. And I had a dream on this flight again, and these are common, and I have to stop doing this. I don't mean to. I kind of said an episode and think I put a timer on to fall asleep, and I didn't. And so in my dreams, I'm still wearing my headphones in the real world, like Inception. And in my dreams, they're very vivid, and people are trying to communicate with me, and I'm seeing a lot of important things go on. But no matter how many times I take out the headphones in my dream, and I know I'm doing it, new headphones reappear because they are in my ears in the real world. And this sound control of not having to hear anything on the plane, but also hearing these crazy things happen from the audio going into my brain while I'm fast asleep is, I think, helping me increase the noticeability of what's going on in my dreams. I think I'm almost tricking my brain into sensory deprivation in the dreams that forces me to visually take them in at a stronger level. And then when I do regularly dream and can take everything in, there's a lot more processing. I can remember talking to people. I can remember hearing things. I can remember paying attention to things more visually. I stopped smoking the mugwort, but I was on that on a little kick. And I think it can kind of sit with you for a while on kind of opening those passages, which is cheap. It's on Etsy. You don't have to smoke it. You can make tea. You can put it under your pillow if you want. I don't trust that. I like the tea, but I'll smoke a gravity bong of mugwort.
Also, there's a stuff called Huperzine A.
Okay.
They give it to people with memory loss issues to like help regenerate.
It can't become like addictive though, can it?
No. This is like a very cheap vitamin that they put in. Like if you've ever taken like a nootropic.
Yeah.
Like it's one of the ingredients they throw in nootropics.
Alpha brain, brother.
Yeah.
Use the code FESUCKS for 10% off your lifetime annual membership of Alpha Brain. That's 1,700 cartons of Alpha Brain every 4 days.
I actually tried some of that Alpha Brain shit. Does not work.
I took the Lion's Mane Mushroom super supplement, and I think there was at least a fun enough placebo effect for me to want to do it again, but the price point was still too high and it wasn't expensive.
There's like a $12 nootropic on Amazon that is like low-grade Adderall. It's incredible.
Really?
It's
I don't want to get addicted to meth here, but...
Yeah, it's all about... I mean, I'm sure there's some sketchy shit in there at some point, but...
It's like Yohimbe and those old diet pills that would just make you jitter your brain.
Huperzine, you should...
Oh, yeah, you got to have a little Huperzine in your tea in the morning, and you'll be right up remembering multiplication tables, things like that and whatnot. You know,
do we want to do questions?
Yeah. I have to say more things first, Peter, because we have to get into this week. It's fine. I understand we're kind of at that point, but I do have to look forward in the week and kind of fill everybody in. If you're getting this on the Patreon, obviously the dates are happening. Wednesday, I will be at the Don Quixote in Los Angeles. If you're missing this already, sorry. But if you're on the Patreon, you can know at a 7 p.m. and a 10 p.m. show for first Pandemonium Pro Wrestling. And then Relentless Pro Wrestling doing a trios match. Thrussey will be in the building against Warhorse, Drexel, and Chase James. It's going to be crazy. Thursday, going to Disneyland. I'm very excited to go to Disneyland. I've talked about this multiple times. You'll get a full review of Disneyland. I've never been to the California Disneyland. Very excited. That night, I can't say anything about anything, but Bussy is scheduled to appear somewhere that night. Maybe multiple
Bussy
things.
Bussy at night?
Bussy after dark. Now, I do want to point out, too, if you see me this week, we have the almost Lakers color Effie Lives Skull Variant shirts that are exclusive to LA. They will sell out this week, I can guarantee. We also have the Effie's Big Gay Brunch shirt, which Allie said she didn't like, but I think she's wrong. And it says, Effie says brunch on the first front on a tie-dye shirt, and the back has all the info about the event at the top, but it says Game Changer with a Y, which I think is the coolest shit. Possible game
is this
changer.
On your site?
It is not on my site. It is not even public yet. Do you want to see it?
Yeah, I do.
Okay, I'm gonna pull it up on Instagram here. Now Friday is a huge day. Totally. I mean, Friday, if anything were to happen after midnight that we did Friday, that day would actually be one of the crazier days of all of wrestling. And I'm considering that because I am going to sleep this week, Peter. I don't have to do it on anybody's schedule but mine, and I can sleep at any time of day. I've been awake and asleep at all times. I've had a Diet Coke on an airplane at all times. You cannot functionally make me sell for you. I'll sleep in the car for 2 hours. I don't give a damn. I got 48 minutes. Let me take a little napski. But if it gets in the way of the cash, okay, it's this one. I love it. I wanted something very old school 80s Hollywood, but was also kind of like just blocky and its own thing. And it's simple and it doesn't have to have a big picture of me on it. And it's people will ask.
I like it because if you misread it, it says gay mech.
Yeah, gay mag. Gay mag changer. You bring us your gay mags and we're going to change them. You got a megalodon that won't fuck a woman? You want that shark to reproduce in your pool? Bring it to us. We're the gay mag changer and we're going to make that. We're going to fix that gay mag.
I think it's cute.
This was the alternate here that I didn't like, which was a showgirls rip.
Yeah.
And I don't think it would have worked in the way they wanted it to.
Yeah.
But it was... Okay, doesn't matter. I'm going to have those out there. Allie will have the Allie-fornia shirts. We will be signing stuff. This is just a fair warning. If you run into me and want to do pictures, and want to do merch, you want to do stuff, please do it. Please also give me money. If you're not handing me money in this week, there's so much hectic shit going on. You still get to watch the shows. You still get to watch the performance. If you find me later on hanging out, maybe we'll sneak one. But if there's a line of merch and you're just waiting in line to come say hello to me, please don't do this. Please don't do that this weekend. My time is very, very valuable this week, and I'm objective when I'm saying that.
Bribe Effie?
Bribe Effie. Put money in Effie's pants. If you put money in my pants, you can do whatever you want. I don't give a shit, okay? Legally speaking, I don't know.
Just pretend that it's your Effie's birthday.
If you buy merch, I'll take 100 pictures with you if it's quick enough. But if there's a big line and you just want to come tell me about it, this isn't the week. There are many other weeks to come tell me about it, okay? I know you've been thinking about it. I know it's on your mind. And I know I'm here. And I know you've been waiting to see me. But this is the week where if you're not handing me some money, I need you to just wait to the side and see if somehow Effie gets free enough from people who are giving him money to give you that free attention so you can tell me about it, okay? Because I know it's hard to hold it in. You got to tell somebody. I'm a good person to tell. But I'm way more sympathetic if you give me $20. Is that bad?
No.
Ah!
Let's do questions.
Okay, wait. I have to finish telling you these matches.
Sorry, I'm not trying to like wrap this up.
No, I love it. I love it. I have to finish telling these bookings for this week. Friday, 3 p.m. against Pheromones from DDT. Allie said, what moves do they do? I said, Allie, this is going to blow your fucking mind. She has no idea what we're getting into. Bussy versus Pheromones at GCW versus DDT at 3 p.m. That night, it's Joey Janela's spring break. I think it's at 7 p.m., I want to say. I don't know. I actually don't know what time it is. Look up what time it is. It's sold out. Watch it on Fight Plus. All the shows are on Fight Plus. It is Effie. It is Allie. It is Bussy taking on Maki Ito, the world's cutest superstar, and Nick Gage. That motherfucker of the MDK gang. I've never beaten Nick Gage. I've never wrestled Maki Ito. It's going to be one of the craziest matches you've ever seen. It will be psychotic. It will be everything you want. I promise. And then Saturday morning, big gay brunch. Hashtag Effie Gay LA. That is going to get the most traction, the most response. The hashtag is Effie Gay LA. I bullied Brett today about what the hashtag will be. And I'm actually messaging him again now. To make sure I get this point across.
My brain is wrecked. I misspelled it and I was like, oh, it says Effie Gala.
Effie Gala. Yes. Effie Gala. Welcome to the Effie Gala. Yes, Effie Gay LA. I want to get the most traction on the hashtag. It's an obvious hashtag. And in a current time, it would be easy to do like EBGB6 or whatever it may be. But I want to say gay. We need to say gay. This is an event that's about highlighting the talents of LGBTQ performers, highlighting people from all different backgrounds, all different styles, and also pushing that we will not tolerate disrespect, legally speaking, you know, taking away of people's rights, of our trans friends, our trans family. We're gonna be as loud about it as we can be. I've heard from a lot of people that being loud about it has been very helpful for them. So we're going to be loud. We're going to highlight all of our performers. We're going to highlight all the different people, and we're going to highlight all of their skill. And I want as much visual on it as we can get because media is our friend. I've also suggested, and this is just a note for the future, okay? I'm a very busy person. That's objective. I'm not being a bitch. Can y'all interview anybody else on my fucking show who is also a world-class LGBTQ professional wrestler and talk to them about what it means and talk to them about how it feels to be trans and talk to them about, you know, what their part and what this journey has been for them? And I know my name is on it. I know this sounds dumb to complain about, but I feel like there are other people's voices who are on these shows who are just as well-spoken and well-informed as I am that could be, you know, a whole different side where you can still promote my show. Okay? You don't have to talk to Jesus every time you go to church. Sometimes you just talk to the pastor that's there. Was that too much?
No, I didn't say anything about this, but like That promo that you put out, this is going to make me cry. So just like strap in for it. So
buckle up.
It is so obvious looking at that promo that what you're doing is not about you.
It's not about me at all.
And but like, dude, you're fucking nailing it. And like, I'm so fucking proud of you.
Love you.
It's just like, I don't know. This shit fucking matters.
It does.
It really fucking does.
And sometimes I think, especially in the last couple months, I love you, Peter. It's okay to have real emotion and to just let it happen. I'm a beautiful genius idiot, and I want to be a shoulder to lean on in anything. Effie's never met a stranger, but it is funny. People do think I am this particular type of performer if they're looking from the outside, and really, it is not about me at all. I have a lot of privilege. I am a 6-foot cis male. I am white. I am well-spoken. I am college educated. All of this comes from me having privilege. And now I get to kind of spread my privilege around. And I'm asking that we continue highlighting the voices that I'm highlighting the voices of these people. And you could highlight them even more if you didn't look at me as such a central figure of needing to speak to me to understand what's going on. They can help you understand what's going on because they've helped me understand what's going on.
Yeah.
And pushing to say, you know, it would be so dumb of me to be like, look at how diverse of a wonderful roster we have and have so many types of wrestling and types of skills and different types of entertainers. And also, you should just talk to me about it. It's crazy. It's like the most bizarre thing I've ever heard.
Yeah.
I'm Chuck E. Cheese, but he's got a whole staff of people there that are just as important. And I'm really just an animatronic robot on the stage. We learned this from the chat GPT, right? Oh, I have to say, there's more bookings, Peter.
I mean, they love the long episodes.
Like. Saturday morning for Wrestling Toy Collector, I will be at the WrestleCon table from 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. with Alley Catch. We will have regular Bussy stuff there. We will be doing meet and greets. We will be also selling the Major Bendy's official FE WrestleCon variant, which features me in the dark purple royalty jacket and covered in blood. I'm covered in blood. And I'm in my dark purple royalty jacket. It is beautiful. This is a very exclusive figure. This is the only place I know that you can get them in person this week. And then they said if there's leftovers, they will go on sale online. But if there's not, you know, it's WrestleCon exclusive. So it's the only WrestleCon appearance I'm doing. I'm being very specific about it. After WrestleCon, I don't think I'm going to have time to go to the Hall of Fame because I'm going to the Out in the Ring premiere. I checked their Twitter page, Out in the Ring. They're doing a premiere of the film and then a Q&A with a few of the stars. And hopefully me and Perro can work our issues out by then because I think he's going to be there. Here's the question, Peter, and I know the answer, and I just want to ask it so you can look forward to it. Do I wear a suit?
Do you wear a suit?
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, I'm going to do it.
Yeah.
What if I just look up looking too hot? Sometimes I worry if I dress up too much that the expectation is that I would always be that fucking hot. And to live at a level of hot that I've been told by people is like, it's like an approachable hot, you know? It's like, you wouldn't like be nervous to ask me a question, but you'd also think about fucking me.
Yeah.
You know, there's worlds where like you would see someone that looks like very sexy to you, but you wouldn't want to talk to them. I try to bridge that gap. And so I'm thinking like, if I was wearing a proper suit that was fit the way I know this one is tailored and showed up, I think I'm just getting ideas from Jordan Oliver because he keeps showing up just looking like the most handsome adult man, you know, very professional. But honestly, him in that leather blazer was a look. It was his grandfather's blazer. We talked about it on the show. I can't get over the look. I saw a Polaroid of it from Atlantic City and I was like, oh my gosh, this is like stud level. You know, I'd buy a car from that guy straight up, you know? That's all my bookings. I'm going to go home after that, but I don't fly home till red eye on a Monday. So we'll see what LA holds for me beyond that. But I am very using LA for Effie instead of Effie being used by LA.
Yeah.
And I'm very good at LA. And I like being able to say that because I've had many times in LA where I've been very stressed out and spent too much because I didn't prepare for things and been lost or not had a right place to go or stayed at a horrible place. And now to enter and go like, I am familiar with the territory and I will not be bombarded, and to be able to help other people go like, don't sweat this shit. It's going to be fucked. You can't let it get you. It's a pleasant place to be in, honestly, professionally. I'm having fun wrestling. All the parts of my life that are wrestling and calling matches and in the ring, the most fun shit of your whole life.
Yeah.
Incredible.
I love it.
And I get to get in the ring with just the most marvelous performers this weekend. What an honor. But let's do some questions,
Peter. Let's do some questions. There's one question that I may just force you to read.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
I'm in.
It's going to go some places.
All right, let's see. It's going to go some places.
It's going to go some places. Oh, my God. My phone is so overwhelming these days.
Yeah. You can't live in that thing. It's the endless little black mirror, you know? There's too many infinites out there. The stars are infinite. The scroll is infinite.
Have you seen? I'm just showing you that.
You found
it. I know we're both Succession people, and I used a wonderful Cousin Greg photo.
The Cousin Greg loop is the one I'm most excited to see close.
Yeah.
Because where he starts in this show it's an incredible rise and fall. And really, at this point, he's made so many dumbass decisions when he could have done nothing and really made out well. And it is fascinating to watch him just get caught up in the fun of it, you know? He seems to be excited to participate, and while participating, ruins everything, and including himself. I love it. Shakespearean, if you will.
All right, this one's from Julie, and I'm specifically giving you this other question because there's a bunch of words I don't want to have to pronounce, even though this would make more sense the other way around, but okay. We're just going for it. Okay, this one's for Peter, so I'm going to ask my own question. This is from Julie. I know. It's fine. You mentioned watching other people play video games. Do you use Twitch or YouTube or some combination thereof? Do you have any favorite streamers besides Effie? I assume Effie will grace us with an exciting preview of the type of energy that he's taking into this weekend. Very excited to attend my first big gay brunch on Saturday.
Yeah.
It really is just like if there's a video game that because this is all about itch scratching without spending $500 on a PlayStation.
You get to see the boss without playing the tutorial.
Yeah.
It's less about the streamer, I feel like, for you than the content of the game being presented.
Because I don't have like a favorite streamer that I have to watch all of their stuff.
Yeah.
It really is just like I want to see someone play this game that is curious to me.
I'm also just fascinated by game trailers and gameplay trailers.
Yeah.
I'm always trying to catch on to, you know, it's like seeing a movie. You're seeing 2 minutes of this trailer, which can present a lot of information. But I'm noticing what am I noticing in gameplay loops that may not be fun for me? What am I noticing in presentation that's hiding something else? What am I noticing in what's being presented in the game that makes it look more chaotic or more full of features than is actually there or intended? And how long is it going to take me to get to the fun part? And those are sort of the things I'm looking for in dissecting out a game footage trailer and how it's presented. But I like knowing how much mental thought goes into what they're doing with that little bit of footage. So getting to watch it long form, like you're saying, or getting to see a full level, or like that Resident Evil 4 remake. I don't want to play that game. I'll watch some of the footage.
Yeah, see, exactly.
I was scared on the GameCube and the graphics were not that good.
Yeah, that could be... If we're going to rank games that Peter has put the most amount of hours into, Resident Evil 4 on the Wii, it could be number one.
You've had some Resident Evil 4 hair sometimes where you could definitely fill that role.
Yeah.
I would probably cast you. You'd get up in the casting on that.
I have the vague European thing
I love
going
it.
On.
There's nothing I like better than a vague European. You know, vague. Okay.
Okay.
What was the...
You have fun with this.
Okay. Did we answered this? I love this. Okay, my brain is looped this week, y'all. Okay. Oh my God, this is incredible. I gotta breathe on this one.
Yeah.
It's a question from Brian. Since Big Gay Brunch is upon us, I have some extra gay questions this week. Have either of you read Yaoi, Bara, or BL manga? If so, what did you enjoy? Also, what did you think about Yaoi being an art form that's predominantly written by and for a female audience, even though it strictly portrays fictionalized gay relationships? No, this isn't for me. I will say in Japan, I said I have to go find the gayest Yaoi-ish manga possible and just get one book just to say that I participated in the art form because it's such a fascinating thing over there. So we went to that bookstore. The whole floor is just gay manga of all sorts. And I found the one about the anthropomoid, what is the word? Anthropomorphized wolfman bear fucking the twink. And they show the full like waves of spunk. And really graphic drawing. And it's beautiful artwork. And the book is put together so well. But it is insane that It's just readily available, like in your regular Barnes & Noble Best Buy combo. Like, we've got video games up here. We got Dragon Ball on this floor, and that's little boys fucking. And you're like, what? And they're like, it's for women, dude. Don't worry about it. And you're like, I'm worried about it. I do have the Wolfman fucking book. And I felt a little safer because I was like, this is so far-fetched with the Wolfman fucking that it sort of isn't just weird. But there is some, like, there were some that I noticed that were, like, real dramatic looking and almost, like, I don't want to say Daria-esque, but it had sort of more of that, like, weird Daria flavor. Like, we are both weird. We hold hands. Sometimes when we kiss, my cheeks get red. Like, of this very, like, there's an intimacy to it that is sexual in some nature, but is also just sort of, like, very, like, bromantic in that sense of, like, we're just emotional boys and we like holding hands and we only care about each other and we don't have physical contact like that, but it's intimate when we nuzzle each other's necks, that sort of vibe. That's more of a, like, I don't know, it felt more My Chemical Romance was sort of the vibe I got. Okay, there's another question continuing with the gay Japanese theme, because pheromones versus bussy happening Friday, DDT versus CCW. Do you have any thoughts on the concept of pujoshi or pudanshi, or wrestling fans who mainly watch wrestling for the erotic and often homoerotic vibes? Are these terms that can be applied to the wrestling scene outside of Japan and are strictly a culturally Japanese phenomenon? For context, it's puro resso mixed with the term fujoshi, meaning rotten girl, like you're a rotten girl who likes this little stuff. Okay, I'm a mark for Effie, but a pudanshi for Pero. That's the example given. Here's my thought. I have given advice to people before, and sometimes my advice is too raw for certain people. Like, I've got to kind of know you a little bit before I really want to give you the true advice. Because true advice from Effie is, it can be a little too harsh of a truth sometimes for people. I work in a market that is built on my commercial viability and the way I sell and the way I'm able to foundationally make money off of the 10 to 20 minutes that I am performing in the ring and how I can build outside of that. Part of that is admitting to yourself that a lot of people who buy your 8x10s are going to jerk off to them. Okay? Not everyone, not all of them, but there is a higher percentage of 8x10s being sold to people that are in a weirder, let me have a weird picture to think about and look at. As I used to say in Georgia when I would be presented with homophobic action from audience members, now you and your wife have something to come to. It's sort of the idea of, like, just having a picture of me looking sexy in your house sort of keeps the vibe sexier and makes things a little more pleasant. And maybe you'll think it's like Santa Claus when I'm watching over you, that you won't do bad things. You'll just do romantic things and you'll do kind, polite things of sexual beauty. I understand this concept. I don't think it's as out loud prevalent or something as many people admit to, but if you've been on Tumblr and you've seen Tumblr wrestling, it's horny and it's fine. And the way we take in art is, I'm not judging how you take in the art. You know, if you, you know, if you only go see Colin Farrell movies because you think he's sexy and you like needed to go touch yourself after you saw Batman and he was in that big penguin costume, and then you went to see Banshees of Inisherin and, you know, you were crying because of the donkey, but you were also just like rock hard. Like, that's fine. I don't think we need to like tell each other about it fully. Like, what you do with your art is fine. But also, I would be dumb as a business owner to not admit to using like the understanding of that particular commercial audience to benefit myself. Yeah, I'm going to use the picture where I look the hottest and you can see my bulging hot man parts in spandex because it's part of the gig, baby. And I look fucking hot. Sometimes I retweet a picture mostly because like it really packaged my package well. And that's fine because I know, listen, I did tell Amy this weekend. I said, Amy, I'm done with trying to entertain adults. I'm going exclusively into making children's content because if Cocomelon is worth $800 million and it's bad, what if you made something that wasn't that bad and could make $1 billion?
Yeah.
I just like, I feel like people are having kids again a little bit and it's time to entertain them with something Yo Gabba Gabba-esque that also features the world of wrestling. We need to get on this because we are responsible for the next generation, whether they are our birth children or not. And we have to lead them into a safe future where they don't have to deal with the same difficulties and aren't presented with the same challenges from the previous generation We can help the next generation so that they won't be hateful against us when we're old and need a little benefit. And they're voting on whether or not, you know, I get to keep my robot made. I'm not saying I'm playing the full long game, but it'd be nice to know that I'm not going to be a target on them and I have their best interests in mind. This weekend on Sunday, Jimmy Lloyd's Degeneration F, he is fighting, I believe the kid is 15, the 15-year-old Bodie Young Prodigy, who I saw at the FSW show Sunday, and we have met before. His mom was there. She's very nice. I like meeting their parents when they're around because it's like you at least know that somebody's looking out for him and not just dropping them off like, you going to go make money wrestling, kid? All right, have fun. Like the parents are at least there. And I said, you're fighting Jimmy Lloyd, Bodie, at this Degeneration F show, which is Jimmy Lloyd's show to show off the next generation of talent. Who's coming up on the scene? Who's making their mark? Who's the current wild thing that we haven't seen before? So this 15-year-old's having a match with Jimmy. And I said, Bodie, did you hear what Jimmy said? He goes, what? I said, he said he was going to roll you up in barbed wire and light you on fire. And he goes, did he really say that? And I said, no, he didn't say that at all. And then I sort of had a little convo and said, you guys are going to have a sick match. Jimmy Lloyd's the best in the business. But he's like, you don't think he'll make me do glass? I was like, no, dude, you're going to probably put Jimmy Lloyd through a table and not have to take anything but look like a madman and look awesome as fuck. And it's going to be such a cool, fun moment by that Sunday. It's just exciting to see that, like, we've got the next generation picking up and they're doing magic things. What were we saying, man? I got into that somehow. We were talking about making kids content.
Yeah.
Yeah. We want puppet people wrestling and we want it bad. I want Mr. Rogers mixed with Yo Gabba Gabba mixed with like a little They Might Be Giants. I think they did some songs on that. Did you ever listen to their Alphabet album?
No.
It's great. There Might Be Giants Alphabet album is great. Okay. Any other questions, Peter?
Yeah, let's do a couple more from Twitter.
I love it.
Favorite referees? Ref Clark Feldman's mine.
Yes. And rest in peace to SPO, Sean Patrick O'Brien, who passed away very suddenly recently. I've retweeted a few times the link where you can help out with all the costs. It's crazy tragic. It's very sudden. It's, you know, nobody's fault. It's a wild thing that happens. So all love to Ref SPO. I had a lot of moments with SPO in the ring that were hilarious, and he was always someone who had a funny story or had, you know, a silly thing to tell me, and it'll be sad to have him go. I think the referee is such an important part of the match. It is such an important part of the fan experience to understand what the boundaries are that are being presented in a rule fashion and what the reaction should be to certain things. Having a good referee can make all the difference in the world. Ref Clark Feldman fucking rules. Check out his Twitch. Check out his stream. I want to shout out Ref Perch, who is just, he's been to Japan with us, been all over the U.S. and Canada with us, freelance with us. He's phenomenal. But also Ref Scarlett Donovan, who I think is the first New Japan female referee that they've had. They've been doing some tapings with her and then has been on a lot of the GCW shows, came to Japan with us. Excellent referee. Ref Adam Galt, who is the head referee for GCW. If you know Galt's in your match, you're like, okay, like it's going to be functionally so easy to get this match done because he communicates, he checks on you, he knows all the finishes, he knows what's happening, he knows how it works. And so it really means a lot to have a good referee in there. Ref Nick Shin and Ref Nick Chen. Those are two referees who are both very good too. There's a lot of referees. I'm forgetting referees. Ref Shiny Shoes. Ref Shiny Shoes has been putting in the work. I'm Ref Shiny Shoes' favorite wrestler. He says that to everyone, which I think is funny. You know, Ref Max Recon, who is a former military, now a grandpa at the ripe old age of like 42 and always down to share a little bit of flour. Love Ref Max Recon. We go back in the days of Georgia, so that's crazy. There's a lot. It's great. We're excited.
Well, speaking of Ref Clark Feldman, here's a question from you.
Oh,
feisty lady. Here's a question from Clark. How about tour writers? Any ridiculous ones?
Like tour writers for myself or for other wrestlers or for...
I think just encountering ridiculous tour writers.
I still have a copy of the Hootie and the Blowfish tour writer, which is pretty easy. I've seen some pretty insane tour writers where it's like, you know, 15 bottles of champagne and certain types of platters. And then, you know, it's like, I've tried to have writers before. And in indie wrestling, it's been very difficult to have those expectations met. But there have been a few promotions where I've landed and been given either like a nicotine vape and an iced coffee or food at the venue, or being offered local fare kind of paid for by them, I want to have a more ridiculous rider. I feel like I should. I want to see Kelly Clarkson's rider. She's about to have a residency in Las Vegas that I was hearing some news about. And I would like to see the Chris Angel rider, because did you know it's not always Chris Angel at the Mind Freak show? He doesn't do all the shows.
Oh, it's somebody else?
It's a Chris Angel double who does.
Seriously?
Chris Angel. Yeah, it's not always him. So.
So he's just like farming it out?
Yeah, I think he's hiring Chris Angels. He's franchising Chris Angels.
Oh, there's multiple Chris Angels.
And so I really want to see the rider of what does Chris Angel get versus what is Chris Angel 2 understudy who works the matinee and we didn't sell the last 100 tickets do.
Yeah.
You know,
I don't
think
he gets one.
Does he just get a $10 credit to the casino card, or is it?
Do you think he makes with the actual Chris Angel tour rider, the lesser Chris Angels have to be like a table for him, like a human table for the actual.
Who's to say there even is a Chris Angel anymore? Because if there was a secondary Chris Angel who could convince you that that wasn't Chris Angel and they were, really, how do you get around that? Who is Chris Angel anymore? And aren't we all
Chris Angel?
Yes.
Yes.
Don't put any fucking green M&Ms in my bowl.
Do you know why they did that?
Yeah, it's to make sure you read the details so you don't die by a lighting ray. Yeah, I know, yeah. I've been there. You got to have that stuff specific.
Yeah.
The last thing you need is to go into that fucking solo on Freebird and then boom, lighting rig right in your neck. Just blood everywhere. Nobody ever recovers from having to see that live. It's traumatic. You rush out, but you can get a t-shirt then because everybody's running out of the building. I got a lot of t-shirts.
Okay, here is a question. Is this what you were?
Oh, I like this. No, I was looking at because of my fucking large ego that gets stroked. What's the story Effie has told you that would be absolutely unbelievable if it was anyone else on the story? I feel like go back and just listen to this world of recording podcasting. You'll hear enough of the crazy shit.
It's starting to get. It's more like, of course.
Yeah,
like,
of course.
I can't be surprised anymore. Like,
yeah. I have to quell my surprise sometimes because I understand that I've presented so many ridiculous things to people that there isn't room for surprise anymore, you know?
Okay. Here, you ask me this question.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. I should have just kept it. Okay. This is big, and we're getting into the magic hole. What do the stars say about WrestleMania weekend, Pitar?
So we just had like 3 planetary switches.
It was like a heart murmur.
Yeah. So what I would look at, what is going to be ruling this weekend as far as like the actual wrestling goes, it's still going to be Mars stuff. Just because, like, from doing any research into professional wrestlers, which is crazy, the amount of charts that are out there, like really good data.
Detail.
It's all the ones, I guess if you're going to rank the more considered, like what I notice is there's a difference between, say, The Rock and, say, someone like, I can't think of any other wrestler's name off the top of my head at the moment.
I love that for you. What about a Stone Cold Steve Austin?
Yeah. So someone like, well, they're like one of the things that you start to notice that there's a performative aspect to someone that maybe didn't stay within the wrestling world, but the people that are like, they are known as a professional wrestler. It tends to be more of that like hard aspect Mar stuff.
Yeah.
So
we're still being ruled by that hard aspect moral stuff as we enter this.
And so Mars switched signs and moved into Cancer, which means wherever the moon is, which changes like every 2.5 days, that is going to affect the flavor of Mars stuff that you're getting. And so the moon is actually going to be in Leo this weekend.
Oh no, the prideful Leo.
And so what you would do is you would look to where the sun is to give you an indication of what that is going to feel like. And because the sun is in Aries, it's just like Mars, Mars, Mars.
Mm.
And then once we get into Sunday, which Sunday is Big Gay Brunch, right?
Saturday.
Okay. Well, then this like works perfectly then.
All right. Well, lovely.
So it's going to be heavy, heavy Mars stuff. So I believe y'all will have a really good time Also, don't get too emotionally attached to anything that happens this weekend, because it's honestly not that big of a deal.
Yeah, I think I'm fine. I'm coming in to have a good time.
More just on like a, there will be, people will be feeling more emotionally strained, Justin, as like the weekend goes. So just make sure that you're a little more patient with yourself and the other people around you at, if you're attending the event and everything. So it's high chance of emotionality that doesn't necessarily have to be, like, you don't have to participate in that end of the game. You can just enjoy the wrestling and leave it there.
And it doesn't have to have all the permanence that you think it does.
No, because it's the vibe's going to just switch as soon.
I love it. I love hearing that. I hope it gives us all a chance to think before we speak, think before we act, take in other people's feelings, practice empathy even when it's hard. It's going to be a good time.
Enjoy the violence.
To battle. We're going to battle with violence. I was thinking about the match we're having Saturday, and it's going to be, I promise, chaos, and it's going to be chaos.
It'll be a violent weekend.
Yeah! But by Sunday, though, do I get to perform a little more? I'd love to be in a suit with a black eye.
By the time we get to Sunday, the moon will be in Virgo, and so we're back to Mercury stuff, but Mercury is currently in Aries as well.
Yeah, let's go.
All of the fun wrestling stuff that you've described in your life lately is perfectly on point, because Jupiter is in Aries, and that's where your wrestling stuff is. It's like, if you remember me saying that it's going to be a great time for you and your friends wrestling.
Yeah.
That's where we're at right now.
Okay, good. Yeah, I feel very comfortable and confident in a professional wrestling ring right now. And I'm very excited to show it off a little bit this week, because we've worked very hard to get here. I think that's what people often forget. This is a culmination of a hard worked year and not the beginning of a new one. The beginning will come after.
Do you want to do any more questions?
You got one? What do you think?
Hamburger.
Hamburguesa. Oh, you're not asking for a translation.
No, that's just hamburger.
That's the question?
It's the question, hamburger.
I had a hamburger the other day that was delicious. I've had many good hamburgers. I've had many cheeseburgers and hamburgers that are great. That's all I'd like to say about that.
Hell yeah. Let's wrap this up. Okay, so something that we haven't done or that we need to be doing is plugging all our shit.
Oh my God, you're right. See, I just imagine people are like me and they give up on the episode about 4 minutes before it ends. So I feel like we should add some more fun stuff in there so that it counts. Bebop, very good at eating bugs out of the air, I'm learning. Just, we're out walking and just snap out of the air. I got to keep him away from the bees. He's really been going after the bees. The cute bumblebees, too. I got to go, brother, you can't be biting the bees. But he'll get a mayfly. My goodness. Horrible.
Okay. If you had a good time, please rate, review, and subscribe to our podcast wherever you get your podcasts. And don't forget to follow us on Twitter at Weekend and Effie's to stay up to date on the latest from our show. You can also find Effie on Twitter at Effie Lives and Peter at Low Sky Dance. Oh, and if you really want to show us some love, head over to our Patreon, weekendandeffies.com, to support the show and get access to some awesome exclusive content. Thanks for hanging out with us on Weekend and Effies today. We'll catch you next time.
And listen, the government is coming after TikTok, but we still do okay over there. So if you want to learn about when we have a good TikTok, we get more listeners. So just put it over, and I'll try to post it more to Instagram and try not to be a lazy piece of shit. Effie Lives Everywhere, weekendandeffies.com. Just join the Patreon. What the fuck are you doing? Give me some of that Biden money.
I made ChatGPT write that for us.
You did?
And I told them to keep it casual.
Keep it casual. Keep it was cute. Casual. Oh my gosh. They're scripting for us now?
Yep. I'm just going to make the robots work for us.
Honestly, I could fight it as long as I want, but really I'm missing out on just not having to do as much work. Do you think I could program the ChatGPT to handle my bookings?
Probably.
I feel like they wouldn't take the lesser amounts and would be very good at selling why. I'm a trailblazer. That's why it's double.